Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, July the 26th, Pope Francis denounces the scandal of malnutrition and hunger in a message to a UN pre-summit on food systems taking place in Rome. Cardinal Bo highlights the dramatic plight of the people of Myanmar affected by COVID, conflict and the collapse triggered by a military coup. And we bid farewell to Father Bernd Hagenkord, who died in Germany this morning. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Pope Francis sent a message on Monday to the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres on the occasion of the UN pre-summit on food systems taking place in Rome from the 26th to the 28th of July. In it, he denounces the scandal of hunger and emphasizes that the crisis we are currently facing due to the pandemic offers a unique opportunity to address the roots of an unjust food system. Lydia O'Kane reports.
In a message to the UN Secretary-General Antonio Guterres, Pope Francis says this important meeting highlights how one of our greatest challenges today is to overcome hunger, food insecurity and malnutrition in the era of COVID-19. This pandemic, he adds, has confronted us with the systemic injustices that undermine our unity as a human family, while the poorest and the earth itself cries out for the damage we inflict on it through irresponsible use and abuse of the goods God has placed in it. The Pope notes that while new technologies are developed in order to increase the planet's capacity to bear fruit, we continue to exploit nature to the point of sterilization, thus expanding not only external deserts, but also internal spiritual deserts. He denounces the scandal of hunger in a world that produces enough food for all people, adding that it is a crime that violates basic human rights. Pope Francis underlines that it is everyone's duty to combat this injustice through concrete actions and good practices and through bold local and international policies. In this perspective, he says, the careful and correct transformation of food systems have an important role to play. The Pope underlines that it is not enough to produce food. What is also needed is a new mindset and a new holistic approach and to design food systems that protect the earth and keep the dignity of the human person at the centre. In his message, Pope Francis also highlights the need to restore the centrality of the rural sector and reaffirm the agricultural sector's priority role in the political and economic decision-making process aimed at outlining the framework of the post-pandemic restart. Concluding his message, the Pope underlines that throughout this important meeting, we have a responsibility to realise the dream of a world where bread, water, medicine and work flow in abundance and reach the poorest first. He also stresses that the Holy See and the Catholic Church will put themselves at the service of this noble goal, offering their contribution, joining forces and wills, actions and wise decisions. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
The Rome pre-summit sets the stage for a culminating event in September in New York. The UN event, which features three Rome-based UN agencies dedicated to food security, that's FAO, WFP and EFAD, involves experts from across the globe working to harness the power of food systems and the involvement of people from all walks of life and expertise. It emphasises the need to act together to find sustainable, affordable and inclusive models for a world in which no one is left behind. To find out more about what a food system is, why we need a summit and what are the expectations for its outcome, I spoke to Martin Penner, deputy head of the global media team at the World Food Programme.
A food system is everything that happens between food getting grown on a farm and that food landing on your dinner plate. So it involves farming, obviously, agriculture, transport of food, storage of food, markets, shops, supermarkets, even your fridge. In short, it's everything that happens between farm and fork.
The need to get together and talk about something that, in your words, seems pretty simple, presupposes there is a problem and perhaps food systems are broken or are breaking.
Yeah, we think in many ways they are the world's food systems are broken. I mean, if you just take some big figures to start off with, there are 811 million people who go to bed hungry every night. At the same time, there are 2 billion people who are overweight. Those two things by themselves indicate that something is broken. But, I mean, you can go further. Food systems account for a third of the greenhouse gases that get produced every year. At the same time, a third of the food that we produce in the world is wasted. It's worth $1 trillion. So, if you look at the system in these terms, it's hard not to conclude that something is broken here. And you can look at what happened recently with COVID. The resilience of our food systems was severely tested, and in many cases, it didn't pass the test. Supply chains broke down. Many countries became hungrier. In fact, according to our own figures, during the COVID pandemic, 149 million more people have become acutely food insecure. So all of these things together make us think that there's something broken that we really need to work together to fix.
That was Martin Penner, Deputy Head of the Global Media Team at the World Food Programme. Troops surrounded Tunisia's parliament on Monday and blocked its speaker from entering after the president suspended the legislature and fired the prime minister. The crisis follows nationwide protests over the country's economic troubles and the government's handling of the coronavirus emergency. Christopher Wells has more.
Tunisia faced its biggest crisis in a decade of democracy on Monday after President Kais Saied ousted the government and froze parliament. In a move which appeared to be backed by the army, but was labeled a coup by foes, including influential Islamists. The move followed months of deadlock and disputes between Saied, a political independent, Prime Minister Hichem Mechichi, and a fragmented parliament, as Tunisia has descended deeper into an economic crisis exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic. Parliament Speaker Rached Ghannouchi, the head of the Islamist Ennahda Party, which has played a role in successive coalitions, decried the move as an assault on democracy and called on Tunisians to take to the streets in opposition. In a statement late on Sunday, Saied invoked the constitution to dismiss Mechichi and decree a freeze of parliament for 30 days, saying he would govern alongside a new premier. He has yet to say when the new premier will be appointed. Saied took action after a day of protests against the government and Ennahda, following a spike in COVID-19 cases and growing anger over chronic political dysfunction and economic malaise. It poses the greatest risk to Tunisia's stability since the 2011 revolution that triggered the Arab Spring and ousted an autocracy in favor of democratic rule, but which failed to deliver sound governance or prosperity. I'm Christopher Wells.
Myanmar continues to reel under the COVID-19 pandemic, the conflict and the collapse of the economy, resulting in starvation, unemployment, displacement and the deaths of hundreds due to the conflict and lack of medicine and oxygen. In this situation, Myanmar Cardinal Charles Bo of Yangon is calling on the people to reach out to others with compassion using their five senses, just as Jesus did when he fed the crowd with five loaves. Robin Gomes tells us more.
Cardinal Charles Bo of Yangon made the call in his homily on Sunday, drawing an analogy between Jesus' miracle of the multiplication of the loaves in John's Gospel and Myanmar's dire situation. The impoverished nation has been thrown into an unprecedented crisis by the February 1st military coup that ousted Aung San Suu Kyi and her elected government. Since then, anti-coup protests and a civil disobedience movement have brought the economy to its knees, with prices of food and essential goods skyrocketing. After 6 months of unbearable suffering, Myanmar is experiencing excruciating hunger for food, medicine, medical care, oxygen, and for peace based on justice. The 72-year-old cardinal pointed out that God has greatly blessed Myanmar with rich natural resources and a grace-filled people. These resources are God's five loaves to Myanmar to feed its 55 million people. Yet, he lamented, God's gift is still eluding our people. The United Nations World Food Programme has warned that 3.4 million people are at the risk of chronic starvation in Myanmar. What is needed, the Cardinal said, is the incarnation of God's compassion, or Karuna, which drew Jesus closer to human suffering. At this moment, when the pandemic rages, Cardinal Bo said, God is asking the people of Myanmar to work the miracle of the five loaves through the five senses of sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. He urged the people to see the suffering of others with the compassionate eyes of Jesus. Like Jesus, they should hear and respond to thousands of people crying for help, for oxygen and medicine. Like Jesus, they should also taste and feel the sorrow of the people and reach out to them. Using the imagery of Pope Francis, the Cardinal urged the Church to be with the sheep and smell like them, ministering to them in their suffering in care centers and homes where they live. And finally, the Cardinal said, the Lord wants the people to reach out to the suffering with their healing touch. I am Robin Gomes.
The recently appointed Bishop of Rumbek in South Sudan, Father Cristiano Calassare, has invoked the Blessed Virgin Mary's intercession for peace and a future of unity and prosperity in the landlocked, conflict-ridden country of South Sudan. He made this prayer on Sunday at a Marian shrine in northern Italy, where the faithful gathered to renew the vows made to Our Lady in 1631, as the people were delivered from the plague and other disasters. Meanwhile, the bishop-elect, a Comboni missionary, is undergoing a period of rehabilitation and treatment in Italy after being shot in the legs by unknown assailants who broke into his residence in Rumbek in April.
I will take the chance, while celebrating with them, to offer some of the bullets I was shot exactly 3 months ago, during the night between the 25th to the 26th of April. I have always felt the protection of our Mother Mary, and now even more, after all that has happened. During the celebration, we shall pray for the people of South Sudan, who are also wounded by the past years of conflict, and implore the intercession of Mary to bring healing and a change from a past of violence, division, and poverty to a future of peace, unity, and prosperity. We look at South Sudan with sympathy, with a positive outlook and hope. We acknowledge all people and communities that are striving for peace and demand that all those groups that hold weapons illegally would abandon them and never resort to violence again. As Pope Francis invited the South Sudanese leaders to Rome and kissed their feet, all people of South Sudan must be one by his humility and love, to recognize the dignity of every person and work finally for unity. I know it is a long path and a demanding mission, but this is the only path to life and the mission of the Church. May Mary intercede for us.
And finally, it is with sadness that we bid farewell to Jesuit Father Bernd Hagenkort, who died today in his native Germany after a short illness. 52-year-old Father Bernd headed Vatican Radio's German program for over 10 years and played an important role in the Holy See communications reform here at the Vatican News. We will miss him. That's all from us for this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us again tomorrow at this same time. My thanks go to Joe Mauriello in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.